At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman, CBS News, visiting scholar, professor at Dickinson College, CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. A surprise, a happy surprise in Europe, bogged down by the Ukraine war, lack of energy, and no growth in Germany. Friedrich Merz, a man you will come to understand, is the new leader of Germany. He leads the Christian Democratic Union, that's Angela Merkel's party. But the polls show that he will dominate the election in February. At the same time, he needs coalition partners. And he's got a constituency in the CDU that I'm told is decidedly pro-Ukraine. So Friedrich Merz, the careful lawyer who says very little because he's doing well without committing himself, shows up in Kyiv and shakes President Zelensky's hand. Jeff, this is good news. Olaf Scholz is no war fighter. And despite Zeitenwende of February 22, he has not committed Germany to the fight in Ukraine. Merz, I'm told, may not want to, but his party does. Can I interpret this as a positive for the immediate future and making the Kremlin frown? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. I would think so. And then once again, underscoring Germany's support for Ukraine, I think it's also an effort on the part of Mr. Merz to assume German leadership in NATO. If the United States under a Trump administration is going to back away, we historically have seen one of the principal European states, France, United Kingdom, or Germany, be the European leader. And with turmoil in France, as Mr. Macron tries to pass a budget and is seen in a weakened position, surprisingly, very little to my mind movement in this direction from the new prime minister in Great Britain, Mr. Starmer. So Merz, I think, is going to try to assert that position for Germany as he also underscores his party's support for the Ukraine. The problem is going to be, of course, as you suggest, John, achieving that coalition. His party, the CDU, along with their Bavarian partners, the Christian Social Union, probably get about 35% of the vote, but about 20% of the vote will go most likely to the PFD, the Partei für Deutschland, the very extreme right-wing party that none of the principal parties in Germany have said they will ever go into a government with. But that means that Mr. Merz has got to find partners, and will the Social Democrats under Scholz, will the Greens achieve sufficient seats to give him a coalition majority?
Here's an anxiety I'm told is throughout the European Union and even NATO, that Mr. Putin wants to talk directly to Mr. Trump and vice versa. And that means, as the wit goes, Europe will not be at the table, it'll be on the menu. Europe knows that if that conversation goes forward and comes to any conclusion about Ukraine, that means Europe is no longer going to be concerned, no longer going to be considered in any fashion as an equal of Moscow or Washington. Is that a legitimate fear? You've served NATO. You've served Europe. Are they at this point anxious about their status?
Absolutely, without question, John. I mean, what Mr. Putin is trying to angle for is a repeat of Yalta or even the Congress of Vienna. And that is the great powers negotiating over the heads of those who are going to be affected, not involving directly Zelensky, who certainly the topic is going to be giving up a portion, perhaps, of Ukraine. And over the head of the Europeans as well. You know, for 4 years, Mr. Biden worked hard to strengthen NATO, expanded NATO in size with the addition of Sweden and Finland. And now for Mr. Trump to move in this direction, I think will actually undermine a lot of those efforts and weaken NATO as we look ahead.
It underscores the remark that Zelensky is said to have made on Inauguration Day. Perhaps it's a misquote, but it was there in the news. Zelensky said Trump doesn't think about Europe at all, and that might have weight, although he thinks about it in terms of trade, but I don't think about them being part of the negotiation.
No, that's exactly right, John. I mean, witness the fact that during his inaugural address, despite Ukraine being a very important issue, it was never mentioned. In fact, as someone said, Mr. Trump spent more time talking about Mars than he did about Ukraine, NATO, any of our European allies, and our allies in the Pacific, Japan, Korea. None of those particular relationships were mentioned in his inaugural address, suggesting, as you said, that this is not an issue that Mr. Trump pays a whole lot of attention to. And we all know that many of those who served him, most notably John Bolton, a colleague of yours, former national security advisor, said Trump was moving the direction of withdrawing the United States from NATO if he had been reelected in 2020, and might pick up where he left off now that he's been reelected in 2024.
Which brings us back to Germany. Jeff, you know Germany very well. Is it capable of leading NATO?
It's going to be a challenge for the Germans for two reasons. Reason number one, of course, Germany has always been an economic giant and a military pygmy when it came to Europe. And the size of the Bundeswehr, the ability of the Germans to produce military hardware, is a fraction of that of the United States, and even a fraction of the capacity they had during the Second World War. You know, Zelensky, when he was in Davos, actually over the last couple of days, speaking to world leaders, pointed out to them that there are now North Korean troops in the Kerch salient fighting the Ukraine. And he said to his European friends, just keep in mind, the Kerch salient is a lot closer to Switzerland than North Korea is. So this is a threat to the Europeans, that the Europeans have got to step up, because it looks very likely that the United States is going to move in the opposite direction.
Jeff, I introduced something that always comes to me when I study World War II. And right now I've been reading Monte Cassino, where the Fifth Army and the Eighth Army were crawling up the Italian peninsula. You know it very well. You had to study it. The combination of French forces, the CEF, Polish forces, the Japanese Americans were there. The Brits, of course, were there, but everybody fought nobly against that mastiff. The Germans on their side were willy-nilly, penny packets of everybody, the Fallschirmjäger. This is Europe. They can fight. Where did it go?
Well, there was an assumption, I think, made, John, at the end of the Cold War that, you know, large conventional warfare had come to a close in history. And, of course, we went off on a 20-year hiatus looking at the war on terrorism, NATO deploying forces to Afghanistan. People forget that the NATO mission in Afghanistan was a NATO mission. Sure, the United States had the vast majority of the forces, but there were French, German, Italian, and other forces throughout NATO. NATO was engaged in peacekeeping in the Balkans. But the idea that they would be involved in large-scale land operations, as we're seeing now, was unheard of. Just consider the following fact, John. Ukraine, a relatively small country in comparison to Great Britain or France or Germany, has an army today of 800,000 soldiers. The largest NATO army, besides the United States, of course, is France, with about 200,000 soldiers. And that just tells you everything you need to know about capacity and military capability.
Is it the will, Jeff? These are the grandsons of what I'm reading in Monte Cassino. Both sides, ferocious. You know, it was appalling. But in any event, these are not people who don't understand to defend their homeland. They understand it intimately. Can that be revived?
I'm not sure, John, because it definitely seems that this is, in fact, based on that assumption that war would not come to the continent again. And we've seen this historically as well. Of course, in the 1930s, the Oxford Student Union would vote not to fight for king and country. But, of course, by 1939, all that changed. Certainly, European attitudes might change if, in fact, Europe was directly attacked. But I think there's too many Europeans who, A, think that's not possible, B, think Mr. Putin can be satiated with some small portion of Ukraine. Oddly, ironically, not unlike Europeans thought, well, if the Fuhrer gets Austria, if the Fuhrer gets a portion of Czechoslovakia, all this will just go away.
Jeff McCausland, Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired, CBS News. I'm John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.